This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
And welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Yours truly, the original Diehard. Yep, that's me, Anthony Pepe, alongside sports content provider, good friend of the show from WMEX, WATD here in Boston, Brendan Conley. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Anthony. How are you this Friday night?
Wednesday night.
I've been doing too many Fridays.
That's true. You know what? I'm doing okay. I'm a little bummed out with the passing of Vince Scully, you know, the legendary broadcaster that I know everybody's talking about. But I do have a bone to pick with everybody that is talking about Vince Scully, and more so the social media nitwits that are talking about Vince Scully. I don't understand how all these people said they listened to him on the radio and grew up with him on the radio. If you're on the East Coast, the hell you listen to Vince Scully, because you didn't get that radio across the country. I know there are some
Some radio heads out there.
There are some stations that do go across the country. There's one here in Boston, WBZ, that travels across the country at night when, you know, the weather is right and, you know, the stars align. I get all that. But all these people say, man, I grew up with him on the radio. What the hell you did? Stop it. I've been listening to Vince Scully for like 2 decades now because I had my DirecTV literally over 20 years ago. And I started listening to Vince Scully on TV covering those Dodgers games because I'm a degenerate gambler. So watching and listening to those late night games, and I have an action on them because the Dodgers will, you know, them and the West Coast teams are always on. I listen to them. First of all, I always thought his name was Vince, by the way, because Vince Scully kind of goes.
Yeah, it kind of blends together, yes.
And you never really paid attention to broadcasters in this business until you got into the business and really paid attention. But back in the day, as a sports fan, I thought it was Vince Scully, but the legend is Vince Scully, and God rest his soul. R.I.P. But all these people on social media that are sitting here going, man, I'm going to miss him so much. He was my childhood. I grew up with him. You know you didn't.
For guys
Stop. No, you didn't.
For guys like you and me, I can understand because you listen to him. He was an idol in this industry. But for guys who are just sports fans in their 20s, I mean, come on.
No, you did not listen to him here in Boston, Massachusetts. No, you did not. Enough. Speaking of passings, Bill Russell passed.
One of the greatest winners of all time.
We're going to talk Bill Russell coming up next with the great Lee Montville. He needs to keep right here. He knew Bill, and it's coming up next.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
My friend tonight here at the Pepe Compound, 20 minutes south of Boston, Massachusetts, is Brendan Conley, sports content provider for WMEX, WATD here in Boston. Before we get to the guest line to talk to the legendary Hall of Fame sports writer, Casey Award winner, talking Bill Russell, RIP, Lee Montville, hang tight because I do need to tell you about our friends at Verizon. With their newest unlimited plan, everyone's welcome. Introducing Welcome Unlimited from Verizon for just $30 a line per month for 4 lines. With auto pay plus taxes and fees, their best priced unlimited plan ever. For real. $30 a line for the whole family, the network you want, the price you love. Switch to Verizon today. Paper-free billing required, unlimited 5G nationwide, 4G LTE. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. All smartphone lines on the account must be on Welcome Unlimited and are eligible only for select promotions. Includes domestic talk, text, and data usage only. Data roaming at 2G speeds. All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, bundle and protect today under one roof. Learn more at progressive.com. Again, longtime Hall of Fame sports writer, Casey Award winner, author of many great books, my personal favorites, including The Big Bam, Ted Williams, Why Not Us, featuring Mark Linehan, Sting Like a Bee, and his latest, Tall Men, Short Shorts, based on the 69 NBA Finals, Wilt, Russ, Lakers, Celtics, and a very young sports writer, the great Lee Montville's on the line. Hey, Lee, welcome back to the Diehards. How are you, pal?
Glad to be here. Thank you for the introduction.
All right, Lee, so let's get right into it. The passing of Bill Russell, when you heard that, what went through your mind?
Oh, I don't know. He's been sick for a while, and I think people have just been waiting for the shoe to drop somewhere along the line. And I mean, okay. between Bill Russell and Vin Scully today,
yep.
There's kind of a train taking away a lot of our idols.
Yeah.
And if you're of a certain age, I think a piece of you goes with them, you know?
Okay.
I mean, your memories and your thoughts. And so, sure, it was a sad thing to see that. It's just another symbol of a passing of time.
Gotcha. So take us back to that 69 NBA Finals, Celtics-Lakers. You wrote the book. Again, it's called Tall Men, Short Shorts, Celtics-Lakers. You were a young sports writer covering this game. What did that mean to you? And take us back there.
Well, I was 25 years old, and you know, just kind of figuring stuff out. I had never flown on a plane, you know, to the West Coast. I had never seen a palm tree, the Pacific Ocean, any of that stuff, you know. And so I was kind of figuring out myself, and a situation developed where the guy who covered the Celtics was also the PR man for the Boston Bruins. And the Bruins had a young guy named Bobby Orr who had come along.
Heard of him.
the Stanley Cup playoffs were going on. And so he had to be the PR guy for the Bruins, and he couldn't cover the playoffs. So here I came off the bench, you know, kind of, pulling up my pants and trying to straighten myself out and getting attached to these people. And so Bill Russell was 35 and I was 25. And Bill Russell had already done, you know, most of the stuff we've been talking about since he died. You know, he had done most of the great things. He'd won 10 of the 11 championships. And I was 25 and I hadn't done anything, you know. I was just trying to figure stuff out. So it was a weird situation that I was dealing with this famous, older, you know, great guy and you know, known as kind of a militant and kind of grouchy. And it was just an interesting situation. You know, this is my little view of Bill Russell, you know, through my little window of self-interest.
So, again, we know the resume. It's two NCAA titles, Olympic gold, 11 championships, 8 in a row, 2 as a player and a coach. I mean, just ridiculous numbers. What was he like, I mean, dealing with him when you were at the press? What was he like as this superstar, this icon? And, again, maybe he wasn't that back then, but he had to be pretty special to be dealing with him, you know, in his heyday.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was the coach as well as the star center. Yeah, the 69 finals, he played every minute of every game.
It's crazy.
You know, all 7 games. And he was the coach for every minute of the game. He had no assistants. So my job, I had to go and ask him kind of coach-like things every day, you know, like, who, you know, is Larry Siegfried's pulled muscle better? You know, is there going to be changes in the lineup and yada, yada, yada. And so I was kind of a, I don't know, I wasn't the happiest guy in the world when he saw me come to him. And so we had like a business-like relationship, but I'd say once every 5 or 6 or 7 times, I would be in the locker room with Jess Bill Russell a bunch of times. And I would ask him something that would catch his interest, and he would start talking, and we'd talk for 15, 20 minutes. And I'd say to myself, well, okay, Bill and I, we're on the same team. We're okay. And then the next day I'd go, hello, Bill. And he'd kind of walk right by me, you know. So it was tough to do. But I mean, he was fabulous to watch. He was a fabulous player to watch. You know, he wasn't at the heights of his powers, but when he plugged it in, he plugged it in. He was just a cerebral guy, a cerebral player. You talk about Russell and Chamberlain, and Russell was the cerebral guy, the thinker. And Chamberlain was the physical guy. It was like Athens against Sparta. And the thinker outthought the physical guy.
Love
you know,
it.
he figured out the geometry of the game, and he would treat Wilt the way he would treat me. You know, I mean, some days it'd be, "Hey, Wilt, how you doing?" And other days he'd walk right by him. You know, like Wilt didn't exist, and he was always thinking. I mean, that whole thing about how he threw up before every game was true. It showed how much he put into it.
Well, Lee, I've been reading your most recent book, and as a sports journalist myself, I find the stories from behind the scenes fascinating. What was your favorite interaction from your days on the beat?
With him, you know, I don't know. It was kind of interesting that I got him a job with the Boston Globe when the playoffs came around.
Wow.
The Boston record, they had like John Havlicek doing first person stuff. And I think the Herald had Red Auerbach. And so I said to my boss, Ernie Roberts, "We should get a guy." And he said, "Well, they've all been taken." And I said, "Well, no, someone else would do it." And he said, "Well, who would you get?" And I said, "Why don't we get Bill Russell?" And this was like just a lightning bolt that I put into the office, you know, like, get Bill Russell. Because he had that cantankerous relationship with the city of Boston, to say the least. And I said, "Well, I'll go ask him." And I got a little information. I went and asked him, and he said, "Well, how much would it be?" And I said, "I think they'll give you $200 a column." And he said, "Well, I'll do it for $200 a column." And I went back and said, "Bill's going to do it." Now, I don't know if contracts were ever signed or agents or anything, you know, just he was going to do it, and he didn't want to have a ghostwriter do it, which would have been me. He wanted to just phone into the Globe, and they had these old dictaphone machines then, which had like a floppy plastic recording record. Wow. And he would call into the dictaphone machine, and he would talk for, you know, about 4 or 5 minutes, and some kid from Northeastern would type up all the words, and they'd send it down, and they'd put it into print, and that was
wow.
His column.
That is crazy. So, Lee, you were basically a headhunter before that job even was created.
Exactly. I mean, I signed Bill Russell to a contract, but my job at the end of every game, in addition to annoying him, you know, asking my little questions, at the end of every game, before he left the locker room, I was supposed to go up to him and say, "Bill, don't forget to call the Globe," you know, which was okay if they'd won by 15, but if they'd lost by 15, you know, Bill, don't, you know.
Yeah.
It's like high school coaches nowadays.
Hey, yeah, Lee, everybody wants to compare eras, and everyone wants to talk about players playing in different eras. Would Bill Russell be able to play in the 80s against that 80s Celtics-Lakers team, the 90s Michael Jordan, 2000s, 2010s, even now? Would he be able to play?
I don't know. I mean, you know, could Babe Ruth play today? I would say Babe Ruth could play today, and I would say Russell could play today.
Okay.
Because he, whatever had to be done, he would figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, Russell was the Babe Ruth of basketball. He invented the block shot. Nobody blocked shots before he figured it out, you know. There was a famous thing. He was a junior playing at San Francisco, and he was going against some All-American, preseason All-American guy from Cal Berkeley, and the guy kind of put up a shot, and Russell jumped and blocked it, and then he put up another shot, and Russell blocked it, and he did this 3 or 4 times, and the coach called timeout and said, "That's not the way to play defense. You're supposed to just stand your ground, you know, get in front of the guy and not leave your feet, you know, make it. And so Russell said, "That sounds silly to me." And he stood his ground, and the guy scored 3 straight baskets. And Russell said, "The hell with this." And he started blocking shots again. And so he brought the block shot to basketball, really.
Hey, Lee, before we let you go, Magic Johnson came out on Twitter and said the NBA should retire the number 6 league-wide. You agree?
Sure, why not, you know? I mean, why not? I think so, sure.
Lee, talk about the book.
He was the Babe Ruth of the game.
He sure was. Talk about the book one final time. Again, tall men, short shirts, based on the 69 NBA Finals, Wilt Russ, Celtics, Lakers, a very young sports writer. That is you, Lee Monfil. Talk about it. People, where can they find it? Because, again, now people are talking about Bill Russell a little bit more now, and maybe they want to read a little bit more on what he was all about, and your book is flat-out brilliant.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff on Russell there and kind of the stuff we've been talking about, but all the historical stuff, you know. I tell people it's a great book. Read it for 5 minutes before you go to bed. You'll sleep like a baby.
Hey, Lee, let's get you on again soon, and thank you so much. You're the best.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. Bye-bye.
All right, there he is, longtime Hall of Fame sports writer, Casey Award winner. Again, the best in the business, Globe, Sports Illustrated. I mean, we grew up with him. He was it, here in New England.
One of the greatest.
And national, one of the greatest. And author of many great books. He did The Big Bam. That was about Babe Ruth, which is a spectacular, one of my favorite books. The Ted Williams book was personally my favorite. I loved Why Not Us. That was about the 2004 Red Sox. He did Sting Like a Bee, which was about Muhammad Ali recently. He did one about Evel Knievel, which to me was fascinating and brilliant. And of course, this one, Tall Men, Short Shorts, based on the 69 NBA Finals that featured the late, great Bill Russell.
If you're a Celtics fan, I recommend getting the book. If you're a young journalist, I also recommend getting the book because it's got a lot of cool backstories.
And if you're a basketball fan, I recommend getting the book. Let's take a timeout. When we return, highest rated segment on the program. It is called the Beantown Rundown. It is next. He's Brendan Connolly. I'm Anthony Pepe. You are listening to the Diehards. It is the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Now time for the Beantown Rundown.
All right, boys, let's do this.
Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
All right, Brendan Connolly, let's get to it. Bill Russell, RIP. Question number one here, Beantown Rundown with the Diehards. Where does he rank among the greatest Celtics ever? Is he the greatest? And is he on your New England Mount Rushmore? It's New England Mount Rushmore. You know what? We'll take it a step further. Give me a Celtics Mount Rushmore. Because, again, when a passing of this magnitude, like Bill Russell, 11 championships, again, we mentioned it earlier, two NCAA titles, Olympic gold, two championships as a player coach, which I don't think will ever happen ever again. I wonder if LeBron could do it because he actually coaches now anyway. And I don't like LeBron, but... Could LeBron do it? I don't know. But anyway, what he accomplished, and again, 11 championships, 8 straight years, greatest winner ever in sports.
Won two in college, too.
Two NCAA titles. Where, you know, is he the greatest Celtic ever? Some people argue with Larry Joe Bird. Some may even have Paul Pierce on that list. You can drop Havlicek, you can drop Cousy, you can drop Sam Jones. There's many Celtic that belong on there. I want to know if he's on your New England Mount Rushmore. So he's one of the four major sports. Is he the Celtic on that Mount Rushmore? I know Tom Brady's on there. Bobby Orr is the Bruin. The two Red Sox are questionable. I think it's Pedro. Some would throw Ortiz. Some would throw Ted Williams. But the question is Celtic and the New England Mount Rushmore. And then, of course, the four Celtics. Yeah, he's on there. All right, question two. Thoughts on the passing of Vince Scully, the legendary broadcaster. Again, you work in radio. You're doing sports talk. You've been doing sports talk a long time. He's a legend. Your thoughts on that? MLB trade deadline, was it everything you wanted it to be? I guess if you're a Padre fan, yep. Thoughts? Miami Dolphins ruling. Is it enough? Is it too much? Thoughts? And then question five, Deshaun Watson, 6 games. Surprised on that. And then now the NFL comes out today and says they're going to appeal that. I'm so confused in this situation, and we'll talk about that more in detail. An outside arbitrator rules on this. So the 2020 NFL collective bargain agreement, they can't overrule facts in the case, but yet they can overrule just the decision. I'm so confused in all this stuff. I remember when you could be a sports fan and that was it. You didn't have to have a law degree to figure out sports. But at the end of the day, overall thoughts on that disgusting situation with Deshaun Watson. All right, Bill Russell, give me your best Celtics ever, Mount Rushmore. Give me a New England Mount Rushmore. Go.
So if we're going to do a New England Mount Rushmore, I think he has to be up there just on the fact that he is the most winningest Celtic of all time.
Over Larry Joe?
I would probably put him up there just in terms of winning.
Okay.
If we were doing it in terms of talent, maybe edge Larry slightly. But
see,
But I think
everybody does that.
But in terms of winning, just what has he meant to the franchise and the organization? I think he's your on your New England Mount Rushmore. He's definitely on the Celtics Mount Rushmore.
See, to me, it's Paul Pierce because I grew up with Paul Pierce and I love Larry Joe. And I know it's blasphemy. I love Bill Russell and loved everything he did, but it's a different era and it's way before my time. So if I'm doing my New England Mount Rushmore, I'm throwing my guy Paul Pierce up there. And I know people will disagree with that, but I don't care. It's mine.
If I'm doing a Celtics Mount Rushmore, it's Russell, Pierce, Bird, and maybe
Jerry Seastick.
Pick your pick out of the legends.
Jerry Seastick. Greg Kite.
Greg Steensma. Yeah, they might retire his number soon, too. You'll never know.
Of course he's on the Celtic one, but New England, that's the thing. Again, it's Brady, definitely.
Oh,
and Bobby
sure.
Orr, definitely.
Yep.
And then when you talk Celtics, it's pretty much split. It's Bill Russell, Larry Bird. And again, I'm the minority. I'm going Paul Pierce. Then when you go Red Sox, it's Pedro, Ted Williams, or
David Ortiz.
Even David Ortiz. I'm going Pedro because, to me, he's the greatest baseball player I've ever seen play and my favorite professional sports athlete I've ever seen.
I'm obsessed with the scoreboard, so I'm just going to say who delivered me championships. I might even put Ortiz over Ted Williams on that one.
Well, yeah.
Statistically, maybe Ted Williams, but I think.
And again,
Ortiz.
if you put Ortiz, you put Pedro, you know, Roger Clemens, these great Reds over Ted Williams, it's blasphemy for a lot of people. I get it, but it's a different era. We didn't grow up in the 40s, 50s, 60s. We don't know. You know what I mean? We know
we
the history. We can read it. We can see some occasional highlights or whatever, but at the end of the day, no, I can't get there. I understand why Bill Russell would be that guy if you did the New England Mount Rushmore. To me, I would probably go Paul Pierce, Larry Bird, and Bill Russell. And I know that's people listening across the country going, "What are you talking about? The guy won 11." Different era. It's just I didn't see him play a lot of basketball.
Right, exactly.
So it's hard to
measure up the talent. That's how we. Where the confusion comes in here, but in terms of winning, he won 11 titles here, combined between being a player and a coach. He won two in college as well at the University of San Francisco, interestingly enough. I think in terms of just being a winner, he has to be up there.
No question about talent, Vince Scully.
He was one of the greatest. Obviously, I didn't grow up with him. You didn't grow up with him.
Everybody we knew grew up with him.
Apparently.
And listened to him on the radio.
Apparently.
Just ask them.
But just overall, what he meant to the game of baseball, he was one of the greatest in terms of just, he was a pioneer in broadcasting for baseball.
Sure.
He was one of the GOATs. So I'm sad that he's gone, but he lived a fulfilling life, and I think the world is going to miss him. But overall, I think he left his imprint for forever.
Absolutely. Speaking of baseball, MLB trade deadline, was it everything you wanted, Brendan Conley?
Oh, my. If it were a Red Sox fan, I'm just thinking, like, why didn't they just buy? Just buy, yeah, like, but, based on the moves that happened.
But again, you got to be happy they didn't get rid of J.D. Martinez. And again, I'm talking about overall, the big name Soto was moved.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, what, crazy amount of players moved. The most ever.
Hey.
Was it like 190, something stupid?
The Padres made it be known to the rest of the MLB, they're going for it. I like the move. Go for it and go for the World Series because that's a market that wants one. And has been chasing one for the better part of the last decade. Might as well go out and get one of the best players in the game. Sell out.
I'm hearing a lot of conflicting conversations regarding the Miami Dolphins ruling. You know, again, first-round draft pick gone, third-round draft pick gone. You know, $1.5 million fine is nothing and stupid. Steven Ross suspended till October, stupid. I mean, those two mean nothing. But a first and a third are huge. And people are going, that's not enough with the tampering and Tom Brady and anything else that went on with that. I think there's a lot more to that story than they wanted. They just wanted it to go away. But at the end of the day, that was a lot.
It was a lot, but do you think it... Asking a question to you briefly, do you think it's just a combination of things in the NFL trying to take care of a few issues at once with Miami?
I think they're just trying to get rid of the whole Brian Flores situation. I think they're trying to get rid of, you know, the owner saying, yeah, I was, you know, $100,000 if you lose games, and I said it tongue-in-cheek. They're trying to get rid of it all, squash it, get rid of it. You have Tua there. You have the excitement of Tyreek Hill there. They drop the hammer. Boom, it's over. They're trying to get through this Deshaun Watson stuff quickly, too, but unfortunately it's not going to be quick. Because the backlash of six games is an absolute joke. And that's our next question. Quickly, NFL, I mean, they want at least a year, don't they?
I mean, I'm surprised that he only got six, but at the same time, I mean, hey, they want the best quarterbacks in the game, and he's up there on the list. So we'll see how it goes.
All right, we'll talk more Vince Scully. We'll talk some L.A. Dodgers. We'll talk some baseball coming up next. Keep it right here. It's the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
All right, Diehard Nation, I want to tell you about my pals at Verizon. With their newest unlimited plan, everyone's welcome. Introducing Welcome Unlimited from Verizon for just $30 a line per month for four lines. With auto pay plus taxes and fees, their best priced unlimited plan ever. For real, $30 a line for the whole family, the network you want, the price you love. Switch to Verizon today. Paper-free billing required, unlimited 5G nationwide, 4G LTE. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. All smartphone lines on the account must be on Welcome Unlimited and are eligible only for select promotions. It includes domestic talk, text, and data usage only. Data roaming at 2G speeds. All right, let's go right back to the Progressive guest line, which is cooking tonight. Progressive Insurance makes bundling home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. Covers the L.A. Dodgers. Fabian Ardaye is on the line. Fabian Ardaye, welcome back and welcome to the Dyers, I should say. It's Anthony and Brendan in Boston. How are you, pal?
Good. Thanks for having me. I'm good.
Hey, man, Vince Scully, what did he mean to that Dodger fan base? We all are reading and watching and paying attention to all the networks and TV and radio and everybody talking about the legend that is Vince Scully. But what did he really mean to that fan base?
He meant everything. I think he meant something more to just even the people who are Dodger fans, people who grew up in Los Angeles. I think, sort of think about it, all the different iconic calls he's had for the Dodgers, but also just throughout all sports, and obviously he called catch, football, he covered golf. Like he did it all, and he was the voice of it all. And I think he sort of captured a lot of what it meant to sort of follow baseball for multiple generations of fans. And it's one of those things that, I mean, he was one of the few living, breathing things that sort of brought that connects the Dodgers in Brooklyn and Los Angeles. And I think we've seen over the last few years some more of those people, we're losing some more of those people. But like he obviously was that person for so many people, and is attached to the Dodgers as any person who's ever put on the uniform.
Do you think the young fan base had an appreciation for him?
I do think so. I think especially now, like the fact that he was able to keep doing this as long as he did into 2016, I think absolutely. I think there are still guys, obviously, on this roster who were on the team the last year. He was calling games. He was around in 2017. And I think the Dodgers do a really good job overall as an organization, sort of embracing their history. And when they do that, when they show those sort of broadcasts on the big screen, I mean, it's always been Scully's call. And I think that's one of the things that's always going to forever connect him to the future generations of Dodger fans, including this current young generation.
You know, he's on another level, obviously, and Tommy Lasorda, I believe, was there as well. I remember seeing Tommy Lasorda, and I remember interviewing him. I was covering a lot of fights back in the early 2000s, you know, Mayweather, Pacquiao, De La Hoya in Vegas. And I remember Tommy Lasorda being larger than life in Vegas. And it's like, this guy was a manager for baseball, but yet it was more than that. It was that Dodger blue. It was more than that. And I think Vince Scully translates that as well. Like, it's bigger than just these guys. It's the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's a national brand that has been on both coasts and has a lot of history. And there are very few men who have been able to have relationships with Clayton Kershaw and Jackie Robinson. I think that goes to sort of show what Vince Scully was able to do, and also just the longevity he had in that role.
Fabian, what was your favorite memory from dealing with Scully, be it on the beat or just listening to him?
I was on the beat for that long. I don't really when he was there. I was lucky. I think the first time I was ever actually in the press box, I was about like 11 years old. It was like some sort of junior Dodgers thing.
That's awesome.
Where they had kids at the ballpark. I remember I was lost walking around. I was trying to figure out where to go, and I heard a familiar voice guiding me, and it happened to be Ben. And I think that's still one of those things that he's the first person that made me feel comfortable in a press box, which I think that kind of worked out, obviously, in leading me to the profession that I'm in now.
That's a very cool story.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, it was, I was 11 years old. I knew I was going to be like six, so I was nervous. And I think that was the one thing that really settled me down.
Well, Fabian, obviously, as we all know, the MLB trade deadline just came and passed, and a team that the Dodgers are competing with, the San Diego Padres.
Why, what did they do? Did they do anything?
Did they do something?
I don't know.
Your thoughts on the Soto deal. Does this bring them closer to being a World Series winner, or do you still view this as a three-team race for the most part?
I mean, it definitely makes them a lot more dangerous in October, which I think is the goal. I don't think that the moves that the Padres made were necessarily about catching the Dodgers in the division race. Just because it's about 12-game difference right now, that's too hard for any team to really overcome, let alone trying to chase down a team that's playing as well as the Dodgers are. But it absolutely makes them more dangerous in the postseason series, especially if you have Fernando Tatis Jr. healthy. That's a fearsome sort of middle of the order there between him, Soto, and Manny Machado. I mean, the bullpen got better with Josh Hader. And obviously, they can still pitch really, really well in the rotation. I mean, they're going to be very dangerous in the postseason. I think they're going to be tough out, especially in a short series, which is when they would probably line up against the Dodgers.
Fabian, I'm curious. Obviously, being from Boston, we don't like you guys very much for taking our guy Mookie Betts. What is your overall thoughts on Mookie Betts? Has he been a little bit of a disappointment?
I wouldn't say so. I think that last season, obviously, he would say was a disappointment for himself.
Sure.
But I feel like part of it was just also it's not being healthy for most of it. Yep. I think he played through a really painful thing in his hips all of last year. And this year, it's clear that he's a different guy. He's healthier. He's happier. He's a better mind space. And the production's been there. I mean, he's already got 24 home runs, and we're talking August 3rd. I mean, he's having an MVP caliber season. And I think, let alone just like what he was acquired to do, which was help the Dodgers win a World Series, he did that in his first season. He has been positioned to do it again. I mean, he's on a lineup filled with superstars between him, Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman. Like, he is still the guy who, when he's going hot, that's when the Dodgers are playing their best.
Well, obviously, the Red Sox took out a couple pieces, prospects, Alex Verdugo. Are there any key members from that deal that Dodgers fans miss, in your opinion, just based on how the media has reacted over the past few years?
I mean, I think the only one that they really, that fans and people really got to see in the big leagues was Verdugo, and obviously he had a really good start to his career in LA, but I think obviously any chance he has a chance to trade for a guy like Mookie, just knowing the level that he can sort of raise that lineup to, I mean, they had to do it, and it's really worked out. I think that they sort of see Mookie out there, and I think they sort of ignore the rest.
Joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, Progressive Insurance, what do your home and auto have in common? They're yours, and Progressive protects them both. Bundle today at Progressive.com. Covers the L.A. Dodgers. Fabian Ardaye is on the Progressive Guest Line with the Diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Hey, man, talk a little bit about Clayton Kershaw. How much is left in the tank for this dude? Obviously, he had a good start to the season, started the All-Star game, but any of Dodgers fans worried about playoff Clayton?
I think the only concern with him right now at this point is his health. I think they understand that, like, he is still a very high-level starting pitcher. He has done what he's been healthy. And I think they're in a different position with their rotation, with their pitching staff than they were in years past when Kershaw had some big October moments where so much was riding on him. I think they understand that they have more options now. He is part of what this pitching staff is rather than at the center of it. And I think that's for the best. I think the only thing is just making sure that back is in a really good spot, because I know that was something he had an issue with earlier this year.
And again, Brendan asked you about this. Again, the competition with the Padres, and the Padres are playing for the playoffs and all that stuff. But again, you're talking about a Dodgers team that has 70 wins, whatever it is. And again, the best in baseball with the Yankees. I still can't believe the total was 97.5. I bet the over L.A. Dodgers, and I know they're going to whack that. I mean, if they go 500 the rest of the season, they're going to whack that. This team is going to win 100 games, if not more. How good are they?
They're really, really good. I think, obviously, October will be the final determining factor, but this is a team that pretty much they won 106 games last year, and then they got deeper, and they sort of, I know they lost Corey Seager and Max Scherzer, but they replaced them with Freddie Freeman and some other guys sort of step forward in the pitching staff. I mean, this is a really deep, good and deep team, and you can sort of see just their ability to, where they weren't playing particularly well the first few months of the season, they still have the best record in the National League, and then last month and a half or so, they've really turned it on. I think they've lost something like only six or seven games in the last month and a half.
Who were some of your biggest winners from the MLB trade deadline besides maybe the Padres?
I mean, it's hard to argue with Padres, but I think otherwise, I mean, I think I really like what the Twins did. I think I like the fact that they were able to add some controllable starting pitching, add to their bullpen, add a closer. I really like what they've done for like the last few years. Honestly, a lot of their moves that they make, they just make a lot of sense. They have a really good team. I think considering what they did compared to the rest of their division, I think they kind of separated themselves.
Do you want to face, if you're, again, I know you cover the team, so you can't be a Dodgers fan per se, but covering the Dodgers, do you want the Dodgers-Yankees? Is that the matchup that you want? I mean, I believe everybody wants that. You have two juggernauts that have 70-plus wins. Massive markets, two huge, one and two media markets. You have Aaron Judge doing what he's doing. You have the Dodgers all-star at every position. Is that the matchup you want?
It's certainly the one Major League Baseball wants.
Of course.
Looking at that, I mean, it's going to be an interesting matchup. I feel like no matter what, the American League is really deep this year, I feel like. I feel like the Blue Jays are really good. I feel like they have a lot of competition in the Astros. So I feel like a rematch between Dodgers and Astros obviously would have a lot of like intriguing storylines that are going to be hard to ignore. I feel like there's a lot of interesting matchups. So obviously, I've seen Dodgers, Yankees. I mean, that would be... It would sort of go back to the 70s and some of those battles and some of those battles in the 50s, so it would definitely be interesting.
Who would the Dodgers have a better matchup against, the Yankees or the Astros? Because you're right, the Astros are filthy too.
I mean, it's hard to say. I think the Yankees are a tougher matchup just because the middle of that order is so imposing. The Astros probably is more of a 1-9 lineup, but just having to go through Judge and Stan, the way that they're swinging the bats this year, I mean, I wouldn't want to be in that situation if I'm an opposing manager.
And your biggest concern going into the playoffs with that Dodgers team is what?
Having enough healthy pitching. I think they're sort of relying on a lot of guys coming back from injury. Justin Mays on the way back, Blake Trinan on the way back, Justin Mays on the way back, Bruce Arcaro on the way back, Walker Buehler. There's still a chance he can come back this season. They're betting on a lot of different guys to come back, and if they don't get enough of them, that might be their undoing.
What are your thoughts on Freddie Freeman? How has he performed in your eyes out there?
He's been great. I think just considering some of the distractions, some of the, obviously the drama that happened when he came to Atlanta, I mean, he's performed. He's done that all season long, and even when the power wasn't quite there early on, he's really turned that around, and he's a fun hitter to watch every single day just because you get to appreciate the quality of the at-bats and the ability to throw with two strikes, still be in every at-bat and make contact on the pitches that aren't always strikes, the two strikes, but he's able to put it in play, get a hit. He's a fun hitter to watch every single day.
Fabian, talk about what you're working on with The Athletic. Again, you cover the Dodgers. Why should people not check out The Athletic, and what are you working on?
Yeah, I mean, it's covering the Dodgers on a daily basis for breaking down some cool feature stories and interesting stuff. I'm writing something on Dustin May right now and his rehab. Obviously, Joey Gallo is the big story of the day today. Him being acquired and Miguel Vargas, one of the top prospects, just debuted. So those are some of the different things I'm working on.
I'm curious. You graduated from Arizona State. How did you get through that school? I would have never made it.
They have a great journalism program. They have a great journalism program. Grew up in the area and definitely enjoyed that time there.
Hey, man, appreciate the time. I know how busy you are, and I know it's a big time and everything going on with the team and Vince Scully. Thank you for the time on your busy schedule. We'd love to talk to you later on down the line.
Of course. Appreciate it.
All right. Again, it covers the L.A. Dodgers. Fabian Ardaie for The Athletic. And, again, it's a fun team to cover, man. Again, when you have an all-star team like that, almost at every position, and they're very good, the best in baseball, and they've been, we know they're the best in baseball for years, and they just needed that starting pitching. You know, Clayton Kershaw's a big what-if in the playoffs. You don't know what you're going to get. I mean, obviously, he had a great start to the season, started the all-star game. He's a legend. He's put up the numbers he's put up, one of the best in the history of the game.
Right.
But has big challenges in the playoffs in October. So there's that. But at the end of the day, they're fun to watch, man.
Oh, my God. It's like watching an all-star team.
It's fun to watch. And, you know, again, they're at 9:40 here on the East Coast, 10 o'clock most times, 10:30. They are absolutely not only must-watch because they're usually the one or two teams I can bet on, but at the end of the day, they're so fun to watch.
Unless something crazy happens, maybe the Padres come up and challenge them. I think they're a lock for the World Series.
The Padres will. the Padres will challenge, and the Padres will make the playoffs, and they're building their playoff team with Fernando Tatis Jr. coming back.
Yep.
And that lineup, I don't know how you stop that lineup.
They're going for it, man. They're going for it. I mean, the Red Sox had the prospects. I felt like they should have gone all in if they were going to do that. Like, if you were going to be a team that wanted to buy the deadline, why not go after a guy like Soto? Oh, well,
no,
missed that opportunity.
You being a Red Sox homer. They were never going to sign Soto.
I know. They're not signing
Devers. They're not signing Bogarts. They let Mookie Betts go. Soto's not coming to Boston.
I was just saying, pick a route. Sell off your pieces or buy and go for a title.
Let's take a break. Final break of hour number one. We'll come back and tell you about hour number two next. He's Brendan Connolly. I'm Anthony Pepe. You're listening to the Diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Hanging out with Brendan Connolly tonight, sports content provider for WMEX WATD here in Boston. Coming up in hour number two, the San Diego Padres. That'll be the San Diego Padres. Spit it out, Pep. Had a pretty good trade deadline. They got that 23-year-old Juan Soto. Have you heard of him? He's pretty good. Yeah, I know. And adding him to that lineup, mercy. He covers the San Diego Padres for the Associated Press. Bernie Wilson will hop on the Progressive guest line with the Diehards in hour number two to talk about that trade. Also, they got that guy, Josh Bell, who's also pretty good, joining that lineup. So we'll talk Padres baseball, hour number two. We'll talk professional handicapper, gambler, host of the Over-Under show on 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, Joey Murray. Legalized sports gambling is finally here in Massachusetts. I never in my right mind thought it would happen. I really didn't think it was ever going to happen. We're talking sports gambling in Massachusetts and much more in hour number two. Keep it right here.